right? Can you hear us?
What's that, Jenny?
Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Morning, it's 9:02. I'm calling the meeting to order. We have Jenny Kirby, Marie Telecommuting, and myself chairing. Looking for a motion to adopt the agenda with one add-on, Elder Assistance Program Law.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny. Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? I see none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the May 18th to 2022 LLC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? I see none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Current business, the Healing to Wellness Court Law. Clarissa?
Okay, this item starts on page 4 of your packet. So the request for the LLC to develop and adopt a healing and wellness court law was carried over from the last term and originally submitted on December 20th, 2017 from the Tribal Action Plan Laws and Policy Subcommittee. On October 7th, 2020, the LLC added the wellness court law to its active files list. So since that time, the LLC's held 16 work meetings with a work group of representatives from the Oneida Nation Judiciary Trial Court, Oneida Police Department, Tribal Action Plan, Behavioral Health, Department of Corrections, and the Legal Resource Center to work on the development of this law. So the LLC also participated in a 3-day Tribal Healing to Wellness Court Planning Initiative training presented by the National Association of Drug Court Professionals in November 2020. So the purpose of the Healing to Wellness Court law is to establish the nation's Healing to Wellness Court to offer intensive case management, treatment, and court supervision to individuals who committed an offense directly or indirectly related to a substance abuse or addiction issue. It provides access to holistic, structured, and phased substance abuse treatment and rehabilitation services that incorporate culture, tradition, and our ways. It creates intragovernmental and intergovernmental collaborative teams to interact with each participant and encourages and supports each participant in the goal of their recovery to lead lawful, productive lives free of substance abuse and addiction. So it's the policy of the nation to bring together community healing resources with the nation's justice system to work collaboratively with intragovernmental and intergovernmental partnerships to reduce the abuse of alcohol and other drugs and drug-related criminal activity affecting the nation's community in an effort to promote lifelong substance abuse recovery and the reintegration of participants into the United community. So the Healing to Wellness Court law will establish the Healing to Wellness Court as a division of the trial court. It delegates jurisdiction to the Healing to Wellness Court for matters related to substance abuse and addiction and any matter arising under the law. It delegates authority to the Healing to Wellness Court to collaborate and enter into intergovernmental agreements with other courts of competent jurisdiction that exercise concurrent jurisdiction. It establishes the Healing to Wellness Court team, which is comprised of a trial court judge, court coordinator, Oneida Police Department officer, representative from probation, substance abuse treatment provider, representative of Oneida Culture and Heritage, and any other member as determined by the team. And it provides how revisions to the composition of the Healing to Wellness Court team are made. The law delegates authority to the Healing to Wellness Court to establish policies and procedures governing the operation and implementation of the program. It provides that all Healing to Wellness Court team meetings and hearings are closed to the public and held in accordance with the policies and procedures created by the court. And it provides that the Healing to Wellness Court is a non-adversarial forum where the Oneida Judiciary Rules of Civil Procedure and Rules of Evidence do not apply. So on February 16th, 2022, the LOC approved the draft of the Healing to Wellness Court law and directed that a legislative analysis be developed. On March 16th, 2022, the LOC approved the legislative analysis. Then on April 6th, the LLC approved the public meeting packet and forwarded the Healing to Wellness Court to a public meeting to be held on May 4th, 2022. So this was the first public meeting held in person in over 2 years. And the public meeting was held on Wednesday, May 4th, right here in the Norbert Hills Center's Business Committee Conference Room and also on Microsoft Teams. So we had two individuals provide comments during the public meeting. And then the public comment period was held open until May 11, 2022 for the submission of written comments. And we received one submission of written comments. So on May 18th, 2022, the LLC accepted the public comments in the public comment review memo and deferred these items to a work meeting for further consideration. So that same day, the LLC held a work meeting to review and consider the public comments that were received. So on page 8 of your packet, you'll see the public comment review memo. This document served as a tool the LLC used when they reviewed and considered the public comments that were received as required by the Legislative Procedures Act. So if you look at the memo, it's organized by topic. So immediately after the comment divider in bold, you'll see any relevant excerpt from the law. This is followed by the verbatim comment received, including the specifics of who made the comment and whether it was oral or written. Next, you'll see the response section, which is my attorney response to the LOC. So here's where I provide the LOC and the reader any relevant background information on the motivation or purpose of the law, any in-depth explanation of the provisions of the law, and any potential options for how to consider the comment. So the last section under every comment is the LOC consideration. So this demonstrates the LOC's discussion and decision on how to address each comment. So on page 11 of the packet, you'll see the draft of the proposed Healing to Wellness Court law, and this is followed by an updated legislative analysis on page 14. So the first thing I'm asking the LLC to consider today in regard to this topic is adopting a motion to approve the updated public comment review memorandum, draft, and updated legislative analysis.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? I see none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
So on page 21 of your packet, you'll find the fiscal impact statement request memo. So the Legislative Procedures Act requires that a fiscal impact statement be provided for all proposed legislation of the nation. So the fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total fiscal year financial effects associated with the proposed legislation and should include startup costs, personnel, office costs, documentation costs, and an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an individual or agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the fiscal impact statement is required to be completed and submitted to the LOC prior to the proposed legislation being forwarded to the business committee for consideration. So the fiscal impact statement provides the business committee information on what the potential adoption of the proposed legislation will cost the nation so that the business committee can determine if adoption of the proposed legislation is in the best interest of the nation. So the Legislative Procedures Act grants the LLC the authority to direct the finance department or any agency who may administer a program if the legislation is enacted or may have financial information concerning the subject matter of the legislation to submit a fiscal impact statement. So Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC 102820A, titled Further Interpretation of Fiscal Impact Statement in the Legislative Procedures Act, provides further clarification on the process for directing a fiscal impact statement to be completed. So this resolution provides that upon final approval of draft legislation by the LOC may direct the finance department to provide a neutral, non-biased fiscal impact statement to the LOC within 10 business days for inclusion and adoption materials. So now that we have a final draft of the proposed Healing to Wellness Court law, the fiscal impact request memorandum is a memo from the LOC to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement of the proposed Healing to Wellness Court law be completed and provided to the LOC by June 15th, 2022. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forward to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by June 15th, 2022.
So move.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Jenny.
With question.
Question, Jenny.
Larry, that time frame okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, that was your question, okay. All right, the question was asked and answered, so any other questions or comments? See none, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to new submissions, the emergency adoption of the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law. Clarissa.
This item starts on page 23 of your packet. So on May 25th, 2022, the Legislative Reference Office submitted a request for the development of an Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law. So the purpose of this law will be to establish the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund as an approved program of the nation to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to its members pursuant to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So first, we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to add the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law to the active files list with a designated sponsor.
Jenny?
So moved, and I can be the sponsor if you'd like.
Second.
Motion made by Jenny and seconded by Marie, with Jenny being the sponsor. Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
So now that the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund is officially on the active files list, we've prepared an emergency adoption packet for your consideration. So emergency adoption of the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law is being sought to establish the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund as an approved program of the nation to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to its members pursuant to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So this law will establish the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund as an approved program of the nation. It provides how this program qualifies for general welfare exclusion. It provides the eligibility requirements for accessing assistance from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund, which is that a person is a member of the nation, age 18 or older, and submits a completed application during the designated submission timeframe. It provides the minimum requirements for the information that must be included on the application. It provides how and when funds from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund are disbursed. It provides for the type of expenses that shall be considered qualifying expenditures for use of assistance from Oneida Nation Assistance Fund by the recipient. It provides information on the funding source and who determines the amount of available funding for an eligible participant. And it provides that the Trust Enrollment Department is the department that has the responsibilities to administer the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund. So on April 14th, 2021, the Oneida Business Committee adopted Resolution BC41421D, Oneida Nation Assistance Fund, which created an approved program, the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund, for the purpose of providing for the general welfare of the nation and its members by offering limited amounts of financial assistance to tribal members requiring general welfare need assistance who could attest to such need. So the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund, as adopted through Resolution 41421D, was specific to the disbursement for an application period of June 1st, 2021 through September 1st, 2021. So it's the Legislative Operating Committee's understanding that it is the intent of the nation to provide a general welfare assistance payment to the membership again this year. So the COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in vast negative economic effects that have affected the ability of the members of the nation to meet their general welfare needs. So the Business Committee is delegated the authority to temporarily enact emergency legislation when legislation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the adoption of legislation is required sooner than would be possible under the Legislative Procedures Act. So a fiscal impact statement and a public meeting are not required for emergency legislation. So the emergency adoption of this law is necessary for the preservation of the general welfare of the reservation population. The emergency adoption of this law will assist in addressing the economic needs of the reservation population during the public health crisis that has resulted from the COVID-19 pandemic by allowing the nation to establish and operate the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund to provide assistance to members of the nation in accordance with the Oneida General Welfare Law. So additionally, observance of the requirements under the Legislative Procedures Act for the adoption of this law would be contrary to public interest. The nation is currently experiencing the vast economic effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the process and requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act cannot be completed in time to ensure that the law can be adopted to best assist members of the nation in meeting their general welfare needs. So the law will become effective immediately upon adoption by the Business Committee and will remain in effect for 6 months. There will be one opportunity to extend the emergency adoption of this law for an additional 6 month period. So we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law emergency adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
Jenny.
Clarissa, how I'm understanding this is we approved this for last year's GWA payment. Now we're approving this for this year's GWA payment. What about going forward? Will we have to do this every year, or this will this one cover?
Once this law is adopted, then the program will exist on a permanent basis so that we don't have to keep coming back every year.
Okay, all right. Make a motion to approve the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law Emergency Adoption Packet and forward to the Business Committee for consideration.
Support.
Second.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? See none, so all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Abstention. Motion carries. Moving on to additions.
The addition on today's agenda was the Elder Assistance Program Law. So these materials were a handout. So the request for the LOC to develop a new Elder Assistance Program Law was brought forward by Councilman David Jordan based on a recommendation from the Chief Financial Officer during the October 20th, 2021 LOC meeting. So this request asked the LOC to consider developing a new law to establish an approved program under the Oneida General Welfare Law, which transitions the nation's elderly 65 plus per capita payment distribution fund from being utilized for per capita payments to being utilized for general welfare assistance payments for elders. So on November 3rd, 2021, the LOC added the Elder Assistance Program Law to its active files list. So since that time, the LOC has held 8 work meetings and has collaborated with representatives from the Oneida Law Office, the Trust Enrollments Department, the Oneida Trust Enrollments Committee, and Finance to work on the development of this law. So the purpose of the Elder Assistance Law Program Law is to establish the Elder Assistance Program to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to elders pursuant to the principles of general welfare exclusion. So it's the policy of the nation to prioritize the general welfare needs of its elders. The nation recognizes that its elders possess unique and irreplaceable stores of knowledge, skill, culture, and experience that enhance and enrich the lives of every member of the nation. The interests of the nation are advanced when its elders remain confident that their general welfare needs can be met. So the Elder Assistance Program Law will establish the Elder Assistance Program as an approved program of the nation in accordance with the Oneida General Welfare Law. It provides how this program qualifies for general welfare exclusion, provides the eligibility requirements for accessing assistance from the program, which is that a person is a member of the nation, age 65 or older, and submits a completed application during the designated submission timeframe. It provides the minimum requirements for the information that must be included on the application. It provides how and when funds from the Elder Assistance Program are dispersed. It provides for the types of expenses that shall be considered qualifying expenditures. It provides information on the funding source and who determines the amount of available funding to an eligible participant, and it provides the department that has responsibilities to administer the program. So on March 2nd, the LOC accepted the initial draft of the Elder Assistance Program Law and deferred the draft to a work meeting for further discussion based on additional input that was received from both the general manager and the Trust Enrollment Department director. So on March 10th, the LOC considered all the input that was received and made some updates to the law. On March 16th, the LOC approved the updated draft of the law and directed that a legislative analysis be completed. Then on April 20th, 2022, the LOC approved the legislative analysis and public meeting packet and forwarded the Elder Assistance Program Law to a public meeting to be held on May 18th. So the public meeting was held on Wednesday, May 18th, right here in the Norbert Hills Center's Business Committee Conference Room, and it was also held on Microsoft Teams. So 3 individuals provided comments during the public meeting. The public comment period was then held open until May 25th, 2022 for the submission of written comments, and we received 3 submissions of written comments. So first in the handout, you'll see the public comment review memorandum. So this document will serve as the tool the LOC will use when they review and consider the public comments. The LOC will be going through and reviewing and considering each comment, and then when they make their decision, the LOC consideration section of this document will be filled in, and then the completed memo will be placed on another LOC meeting agenda. So after the memo, the public meeting draft of the Elder Assistance Program Law that was available for comment during the public meeting and the public comment period is in that handout. And then this is followed by a copy of the written comments received and the transcript of the public meeting. So today we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a memo to or adoption of a motion to accept the public comments and the public comment review memorandum and defer to a work meeting for further consideration.
So moved.
Okay, motion made by Kirby, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, aye. Motion carries. All right, we're looking Just, I want to go back to the topic on the top. I didn't mention Daniel. Daniel is excused on travel, approved travel. So I just wanted to, for that, for the record. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:21.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carried. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.